on the Lord's not, it don't mean don't do nothing. You know, and a lot of people, they wait on God for 25 years, waiting on him to show up. And God's saying, get up and move. And when we move with God, you know, things happen. I was thinking about yesterday, I guess it was, I was thinking about the book of Acts, whenever the Jesus in Acts chapter 1, he told him, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. He said, until you be endued with power from on high. And then when they gathered in the upper room, and that's what I was thinking about, I was thinking they gathered. And the Lord's been speaking to me. I mean, going to church has been attacked my whole Christian life. You know, the assembling. And I mean, I've stood against it for 30 years, you know, that doctrine. But anyways, I was a young Christian. I was going down the road and I decided that I'd give my heart to Jesus and that I wasn't going to listen to secular music anymore. I was making commitments to the Lord. I was just committing my heart, you know. I didn't even feel like that time it was bad or good, or I just felt like, you know, I mean, I'm 27 years old, and I thought, you know, God saved me and brought my family back and all of that stuff. And so I started making commitments to the Lord, you know, and that was one of them, that I wasn't ever going to listen to secular music again. And I felt sad and discouraged, and because, man, I partied with it. You know what I'm saying? I lived my whole life rock and roll, baby, party time. From the time I was 13, 14 years old, you know, marijuana and all kinds of stuff. But I wanted a different life. And so I'm going down the road, and I discovered, I think it was WDJC at that time. They'd been around a long time. And so they had made this, this guy got on there, or somebody, they'd let them on their advertising, and they said, for $99, you know, we'll send you your Bible, we'll send you communion, you send us $99, you know, you don't have to go to church, you know, you can praise and worship in your own living room and all of that stuff. And I turned that off. I'd been a Christian about 3 months. I turned the radio off, and I said that's contrary to Scripture. You know, and I thought, I'll never listen to that station again, Lord. That's false doctrine. You know, and I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know why I'm saying this, but you need to know in your heart that it is the will of God for Christians to go to church. I mean, 199.9, bam, I'm talking about, it's the will of God. And I mean, the power of God comes on the will of God. You know, but anyways, I made up my mind, and you know, and I thought, I'll never listen to that again, which a little bit later I did, and I never heard it again. I thought, if I hear it again, I'm turning it off. See, we ought to turn things off that we know are thoughts or coming from people. I was talking to a veteran that used to go to church and don't go to church. I mean, it's if I feel like going or don't feel like going, I run across that all over Bluntsville and Blount County and Etowah and all over, you know, and it's just not a priority anymore, when I find that the Bible says to seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added, you know. I find that the kingdom of God in our life, and back then I didn't know what the kingdom of God was, but I knew to go after the kingdom. You know, I'd read it in Luke 6:33 where it says seek first the kingdom, and that was part of waiting on the Lord to me, you know, being one with God. My pastor preached a sermon in Isaiah 40:31, those that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. We'll go over, we might read some of that, you know. But he said the word wait mean to be one with, mean to be twisted together with, you know, and all of that. In that time, I didn't know. And I was telling the Lord this evening, I said, Lord, I said, people don't know how to walk with you. I didn't. He said, no. He said, you didn't. He said, but as you put me first in the things that you knew to put me first, he said, your path began to get clearer and clearer and clearer. Until the very day. And I said, yes, sir, it did. He said, that's how that is. He said, all a person has to do is get right with me. If you're here and you're not right with Jesus, I'm going to give you a chance. Anytime you want to raise your hand, I will lead you to Jesus. I will lead you into a relationship with the man that died and has your future in his hands, you know. And if you're backslid on, I mean, at any minute, it's not a shame to be lost. I thank God I got saved, and I'm not ashamed of it, praise God. 30 years later, I can tell you Jesus Christ is the most best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And number two, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God teaching me how to hear from God and walk with God is the next best thing that I ever learned to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and depending on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to help me, to strengthen me, to, you know, just like Max said, it's good to see some folk tonight. I suggest there's more coming in. They're coming in. Why? Because we are believing. We're believing for the lost. We're believing for the backslidden. We're believing 2025 is our year. You know, God spoke to me. But anyhow, I was telling that preacher, he's a preacher, and I was telling him, and I don't really care who it is, you know, if your life is living contrary to Scripture, don't go boasting about it. Just say, I'm backslid. I'm away from God. I'm out of the will of God. And don't bring a reproach to the kingdom. Come on, somebody. That's your heart. That's your dedication to the Lord. That's your dedication to the Lord, you know, and the Lord honors that. He honors that, and that'll keep you. But anyhow, I told him, I said, I don't care, you, the church, backslid, non-Christian, anybody that preaches that you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. I said, I've never heard a preacher preach that. I said, but if you preach that, you have given in to doctrines of demons. I said, and you are preaching a false word. I said, because no matter how you feel or what you think, that you're right with the Lord and you don't need church and you don't need... I said, the Bible clearly says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they have been sent? You know, I said, if you're believing that, you are deceived because you are believing contrary to the Scripture. The Scripture is very clear, and he quotes it. I said, you already know the Scripture. I said, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner as some are. Now, God was just really, really emphasizing this to me the last couple of days. You know, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to come pastor. You don't have to go. Get all of that out of your thinking. Get all of that religion away from you. You know, that is rules and regulations. No. When I set out, I saw in the Word of God that God didn't want me not forsaken. He wanted me to go into church. That was simple. I'm like, I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to church. I don't care if I have to borrow. I borrowed cars. I mean, I borrowed cars to go to church. I was going to church. I felt like because of my commitment to that, that God, if he needed to, he would send a taxi. I felt like God would do a miracle to get me in the place, in church, you know. And so I was thinking, I hadn't thought about this in 25 years or longer. But I'm sitting there and I'm meditating on the sermon and down the lines what God wants me to preach this afternoon. And there was this guy, his name was Paul, that was in the church that I went to. And Monty did a wonderful job laying out about Boaz and Ruth and everything. And God had all that set up. God had all of that set up. See, Ruth wouldn't leave Naomi. She loved her. She loved her. She had left her family and all, and she was living down with people that she didn't know other than Ruth. You know, and she had left her life, and I thought, and the Lord said, that's what I did to you. He said, and that's what I did to the people in the church. He said, I've asked them to come where they don't know anybody but maybe one or two people. He said, and I've asked them to serve with people that they don't know. Y'all didn't know me. Right? And so he said that's what I'm asking people to do all over the world. And that guy, he said, well, you know, the church is a united worldwide. I said, no, it ain't. I said, church means called out of your living room, called together, called into a building, called into assembly, to work together for the Lord and to serve the Lord. I said, and that's where fulfillment comes in our lives, because we're all doing the will of God. I said, but to enlighten you just a little bit of what I know, I said, they are people over in Africa that's going to church. There's people over in Uganda that's going to church. There's people over in Georgia. There's people over in all these other states. I said, they're not sitting home. They are going to church. I said, so y'all, some of y'all are not. I said, and we're picking up. I said, we're picking up the mantle of the Lord. We're picking up the power of God. I said, we're taking on the grace of God and the anointing of God. I said, and we are going to do the will of God. We're going to have our buildings, our churches, our cars, our finances, our healing, our strength, our ability, and united. I told him, I said, in the book of Acts, I said, there was about 500 scholars say that went up there that Jesus told to go up into the upper room and wait and tarry there. I said, and the Bible declares in Acts chapter 1 that the number of them was around 120 left. That's all that stayed. It don't say nothing about the other 500 went and changed the world. But those 120 that went and tarried, and see, the thing about it, we're not waiting on the empowerment. That empowerment came in the book of Acts. He said, then you will be my witness. He said, you'll receive power. That word power means might and ability. He was telling him, you will receive ability after my power comes on you. Then you'll go and be my witnesses into the othermost parts of the earth. And now he came, he left, and the power came. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues, and begin to preach the gospel. They begin walking in the power of God that give them the ability to be whipped and crucified, and I mean boiled, and all kinds of bad stuff happening to them, and they were walking in the power. But these people made commitments. These people made commitments to the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, God is speaking to me today, and he's saying, everyone that is under the sound of your voice tonight, he says, if they will take on commitments towards me and my kingdom, he said, I will show up with dynamite. I will show up with power. I will show up. And this year, some of y'all have been believing God, and you have wanted to give up and quit and been discouraged, and one thing after another happened, and God said to tell you that 2025 is your year, and it's all going to turn around, and you're going to see breakthroughs that you didn't think was going to happen. The Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me in October, and he said my nation is divided. We know that. You don't. All you got to do is turn the news on. The elections last 22 years. He said, my nation is divided. My church is divided. He said, a lot has divided. He said, but I'm going to bring the nation together. He said, I'm going to bring the church together. And we saw it on November the 5th. We saw some of that starting to happen. On November the 5th, up before that, we were praying for our election. We were praying for the right to serve Jesus Christ in America. We were losing it fast. We were losing our right to worship Jesus as we know it. We were losing our right to gather ourselves together in an assembly as we know it. We were losing it fast. We were losing our God-given rights in the United States of America, and we were losing them fast. They come out of this Bible right here. But the Lord, he said, I'm going to bring the nation together. He said, I'm going to bring the church together. He said, I'm going to do it. And I told you here before it happened. And then all of a sudden, the nation rose up in a landslide of voices. I'm not talking about for one man. They couldn't help themselves. Our God moved on the hearts of this nation. And then you had the Amish that don't get involved in all of that stuff. They rose up and they come and they voted. Never first time ever that I'm ever aware that the Amish rose up and voted. And Christians rose up and went to the voting polls. They were voting righteousness back in this nation. And we seen the beginning. You're going to see the Baptists get together with the Pentecostals. You're going to see the Church of Christ, and you're going to see all of the you know, Pentecostals. I don't call myself a Pentecostal, bless God. I was born again in my living room. I went to a Baptist church before I got saved. But that day in my living room, there was not a denomination there that led me to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There was Jesus showed up in that living room, and I had the thought, Lord, if you're really real, then help me, praise God. But that enabled me not to be one of them separating kind of Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or blah, blah, blah. I've been born again and I've preached in all the churches. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. It didn't say that denomination's right, that one's wrong, and that one's wrong. He said, whoever. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I asked God one time, I said, God, what church do I preach in? I'm called to preach. What am I called to? Am I called to the Methodist? Am I called to the Baptist? Am I called because you can only get in a certain clique? I even knew that when I was 28 years old. The Lord said, I called you to the body. He said, and I'll open doors that no man can shut. I've been in the Baptist. I've been in the Methodist. I hadn't been the Catholic yet, but I got y'all here. Converted Catholics. I just happened to get born again. Hallelujah. But see, God, in 2025, it's going to take some commitment on our part. I'm telling you, if we commit, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, he said, love one another as I have loved you. We do that very well here. We love one another. We want to hurt one another sometimes, but we don't, right? We want to quit sometimes. We get aggravated with each other, right? But we don't. We love one another, right? Love covers. Love don't quit. Love don't abandon. Love don't abandon. Love is a commitment. It's a commitment to Jesus. See, I can't love you if I don't love him. I'm telling you right now, you can't love me if you don't love Jesus. We can't love one another if we don't love Jesus, because this love here, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. I mean, Peter cuts the ear off that dude, man. Jesus puts it back on, right? That was love showing, I don't do that, you know. They didn't crucify Jesus. Jesus gave his life up, right? They didn't have the power to crucify him. They ain't nobody got the power to stop you. If you make your mind up, the Bible says, if God be for you, who? Who? They told me one time, they said, you'll go to jail for preaching the gospel. I said, they'll let me out and I won't have to pay a bail, but God, I'll get everybody in there saved. My mind was made up. Lock me up for preaching, praise God, because I will go in there and I'll start fasting and I'll pray. I done seen Paul and Silas in the Bible. I done seen them go in there and they think they in some major trouble, praise God, and they begin to praise God at the midnight hour. Why? Because they knew God. See, if you don't know God, it's hard to talk to him. See, I didn't know God back down there. That's why I had a church. That's why I told that pastor, I said, well, see, the only issue I have, you know, number one is the scripture. I said, the second issue I have is this right here. You didn't know Jesus Christ when you got saved. You knew of him. You had heard about him, and you gave your heart to him, and you knew nothing about him. I said, who helped you? How did you get up here where you know him like this? Did you do it all on your own? No, you didn't. I said, you went to church because I went to church with you. Right? See, we the body, we got to be dogmatic about this walk with the Lord. And I mean, three, sir, we got to build. I told that. He said, well, money don't mean nothing. I said, really? I said, well, then, you know, that's not what I just told my church. I said, we're fixing to tear down that old church and we're fixing to build a new church and we got to have parking and all that. I said, and we don't need, but probably, I said, I hadn't really got the drawings down and all that because I really hadn't got what God wants exactly. I just know He wants it. I said, we're going to need about $2.5 million probably. I said, where are we going to get it? I said, I don't borrow money. I promised God I would never put the church in debt. I said, so where are we going to get it? I said, I can tell you where we're going to get it. I said, I went and told them, go ahead and get their mind made up and they're all ready to prosper in the Lord and told them God's got to increase you so we can do it. Right? See, we're going to do exploits. We're going to do those supernatural things and God's going to use you and God's going to use me to do it. God's not asking you to walk for Him by yourself. He's not asking you just to get a mindset and just make it hard on yourself that you're going to discipline where walk. No, you make commitments to Him and He commits to you. You make heart commitments to Him and then He empowers you. He overrides the natural realm and brings the supernatural in to get the job done. I had to go to my boss one time. I said, look, I got saved. See, my job didn't save me. You hear what I'm telling you? Praise God, my job didn't save me. I quit that job 18,000 times over my honey back there. When it come to that job, I'd leave that job quickly for my honey. You better believe it. Well, when it come in here to the kingdom, ain't it supposed to be more important? So I went to my boss. I said, I'm not looking for a reason to quit my job. I've been a quitter all my life. Some of us been quitters all of our lives. It's time to stop quitting. It's time to get sick and tired of being defeated. Sick and tired of being a quitter, praise God. And let that winner rise up on the inside of you, which is Christ in me and you, the hope of glory. I mean, I had flu Friday and I left the doctor and I said, I had it. You might as well leave me. I had it. I had it. Why? What am I saying? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4 over there, it says the word is healing and health to all of my flesh. Healing and health to all of why. I'm letting the healer work now. But I'm resisting that. I ain't got time for that. I gotta work. Work for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Seek the kingdom. Put the kingdom first. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Every one of us, don't make a New Year's resolution. Make a New Year's transformation. Don't try it and fail. Ask God to help you accomplish what you desire. I mean, let God put weight on Him. Put Him in there. The weight on Him means to stand with Him, stand in agreement with Him. He's already agreed that you're a conqueror. He's already agreed that you're more than a conqueror. He's already agreed that you're a king and a priest unto God. He's already agreed. He's already agreed that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you can have it. But see, these things comes by commitments to the Lord. I made commitment and I told my boss, I said, I'm not looking for a reason, you know, to quit my job anymore. I've been a quitter all my life. He knows it firsthand, Johnny. That's about the millionth time I've talked to him face to face about quitting. And so he went and hired somebody to do my job. And you know what? I didn't go around thinking, boy, that's you. I thought, glory to God, God's real. I made a commitment to the Lord to go to church on Wednesday night. I just made that commitment. You know, and then God began to move for me. Well, you know, we are some of y'all's Boaz. See, my church was my Boaz. See, I didn't realize it, but I tied it together when Monty did that sermon. When he did that sermon Saturday or whenever it was, about Ruth and Naomi. Sick. He come up here. His flesh didn't even want to be here. He had been under the gun. See, look, leaders don't lay down their gun whenever they're under fire. leaders, you're a leader. You know, you're a leader in your family. You're a leader with your brother and sister. You're a leader. The older's the leader of the younger. We're all leaders. But see, my church was my Boaz. I get up there, you know, and I don't know nothing. I think I'm in good shape. Some of us where, you know, we get saved, we're jacked up from the floor up and don't even know it. And God does, but God's okay with it because He brings us into a place of stability. He brings us into a place to where there's calm waters. There's people walking and seasoned with the Lord, hallelujah. And we think they're old and ain't got it going on. But all the time there's impartation going in our lives just like it happened with Boaz. That wasn't a coincidence with Boaz. You're not in this place a coincidence. You're not listening all over the world. We're all over the world. You're not listening all over the world. I've been called and anointed for this ministry. And I'm going to believe God for this ministry. I went around saying the other day, don't ever quit on nobody. Don't ever quit on nobody. I'm notorious for not quitting on you. But I made up my mind. I used to quit on you and steal you, whatever. You know, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to give up on nobody. So I run across somebody the other day, and they said, man, I love you, man. A man telling me I love you. Used to, I'd punch him out. Back under, you get punched out in the middle of a grocery store. You say, you love me? Nah. You know, but see, it was genuine because I've walked year after year, and I've seen people give up on this person and give up on them and get aggravated with them and, you know, just don't have nothing to do with them. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying nothing about nobody. I'm talking about me, and you need to talk about you. That's for me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. Well, that guy told me that, and I looked at him, and I said, why would I give up on you? You know, Jesus hadn't give up on me. He hadn't give up on me. That's why y'all don't give up on me. Jesus ain't give up on me, and you ain't give. He ain't give up on you. Every one of us. I mean, we can just praise God for a week and a half for His mercy on our life and His grace on our life and His ability and, you know, and our shortcomings, and we ask Him to forgive us and He restores us. I mean, you know, we've received mercy and we give mercy. Well, I'm up there, you know, in that church, and I was thinking about today, 25 or 6 years ago, there was this guy, his name was Paul. And he was mentally off, but now his mother and dad, they were elders in the church, and they were prayer warriors. They were people of faith, you know, and everything. And all of a sudden, the dude starts making me tapes. You know, he starts, every service, he sits on the front about where Mac is, you know, and he's got a recorder, and he records every service. He records it and gives me a CD of every sermon that's preached there, and he gives me not a CD. There wasn't no CDs back then. It was them little cassette tapes. They wasn't no CD. I'd never seen a CD. Cassette, that's right. And so I would listen to those sermons. I would listen to those sermons, you know, And just like I encourage you here, you know, I encourage you here, man, hook yourself up with some daytime preaching. Get you a Walkman. Turn that radio off. Make some commitments to the Lord. You know, make them. And y'all young folk, I mean, you can have the energy of God. I mean, you can have the Zoe power of God. I'm talking about in your mind and in your heart and in your thinking. And I mean, you can... You never have to feel like you've got to fit in because you've been accepted in God. And God, I mean, if you will feed on God, God will feed you. God will minister to you. I mean, I was just barely out of my teen years. I really then, at 27, I thought, man, I should have got saved when Preston did down there at 12 on the river if I knew this right here. But see, the Bible declares that if I couldn't see it, at 27 until I asked Him to come in, the God of this world had blinded my heart and mind. That's what the Bible says, you know. And Satan made Christianity look weak to me. I couldn't smoke pot. I couldn't, you know, me and Teresa couldn't party, and we couldn't go to the bars and stuff like that anymore. And he made it look bad to me. He made serving God look bad to me, Satan did. He told me all the things that I couldn't have and we couldn't do that we thought, or I thought, was what life was enjoyable, you know, partying on the weekend and blah, 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 you know. And it even looked good. It was good. I'm just telling you, I really like to party on the weekend. But when it come down and life, my life's choices had took me down to where it had destroyed everything that I cared about, that all that mattered then is what I wanted, what I loved, you know. But anyways, he made that. So don't let Satan paint you a pretty picture and all these guys and girls out there, sex outside of marriage and all that stuff, and make it look good and make it look popular and make it look fun and make it look... No, there's a lot of bad things happening in that stuff. There's a lot of emotional scars and things that you don't have to go through. And you might think I'm old. I'm not old, sweetheart. Bless God, I'm young, buddy. I'm a young man. I mean, I know what I'm talking about, praise God. And you know what? Everything that God helped me to come away from, He enriched my life after that. I mean, everything. I started enjoying things that I used to didn't enjoy. I'm talking about everything. The Bible says that He will bless everything that you set your hands to do. I mean, it'll just be blessed. I mean, I enjoy chopping wood. I enjoy messing with cows. I just enjoy. I was telling Travis yesterday, I said, you know, that's why Joyce has got that book out. One thing, she sent out Revelation, Enjoying Everyday Life. You know, not a book, but that's her program, Enjoying Everyday Life. I said, and you know, when I started hearing that back under, I thought, I'm not going to wait till things pan out and things are going good to enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy life as I walk with God, whether there's trials or whether there's not trials. I'm going to learn to enjoy everyday life. And did you know you can do that? The Bible says in Isaiah 40, turn that, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not. You hear me? He ain't weary. He ain't weary with what's going on down here. He's not weak. He said, He fainted not, neither is weary. There's no such... He gives power. If you feel weak, God spoke to me. Some of you feel weak. You feel weak, you feel like, you know, you just feel weak. You feel like you don't got no power with God. You feel like He's way off somewhere. You just feel like, you know, I mean, despair. You just feel like, what's the use? There's no hope around the corner. The only time you don't feel weak is when you're in the moment doing something. But God said He's going to give you power. He's going to give you power. But you got to make commitments. Wait means to stay where one is that. And delay action to a particular time or until something else happens. And I thought, what does that mean, man? I mean, it takes God to help me here, you know. The Lord said, you made up your mind you're going to church and you was going to stay with it. He said, and you waited, you didn't care what it looked like. You was waiting on something to happen. He said, that's what waiting on me is. He said, if you'll make some commitments tonight in your heart, sitting in this place, if you'll make some heart commitments to the Lord for the things, just the things that you know God wants you to do, that's all. That's all. No more. If you'll do that, the Bible says that He will renew your strength. He will give you power. He says He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, He increases strength. He's not talking about your natural ability. He's talking about the supernatural ability of God coming on you. Did you know that Elijah outrun a chariot of horses? I mean, he outrun a chariot of horses. Samson toted the gates to the city. Them gates wasn't a little cattle gate. Man, they opened up and let the city, chariots and stuff in there. And because of his strength in the Lord, he was able to tote the gates of the city. See, I believe in 2025, we've seen it sporadically, you know, but I believe in 2025, we're going to see God's glory like we've been reading in the Bible, like we've seen. I mean, we had one lady healed of cancer out there, and it's hard for people to rejoice. Ooh, I'm glad she didn't die. I'm glad. Now, what about the power? What about the miracle? What about the cancer that was whipped? What about that? What about the journey going and rebuking it? Right? The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. It says they'll lay hands on the sick, and what happens to them? They recover. See, commitments to the Lord, He's able to quicken. That's what God told me. He said, whenever they make commitments to me, those heart commitments to me, He said, I'm going to quicken them. He said, I'm going to quicken them. I can't do it for you. I can't get it to you. I can't give you that. There's no way I can do it. I can't lay hands on you. The only one that can do that is those heart commitments to the Lord. Then He's going to quicken. He's going to make alive the things of the kingdom of God to you. And that's called revelation that comes from Him. And the Bible says over there, it says the gates of hell can't prevail against that. There's nothing that can prevail against that revelation that God gives you, that church is priority. I wish I could get an amen on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord in your marriage. Don't just let your marriage be whatever it is. Well, I don't know how to change my husband. Stop trying to change him. You change. You submit to Him. You do those little kind acts. Go that extra mile. Put a little bit more dishwashing detergent in the whatever. Without him knowing it, I'm doing this for my husband. Do those little things that God takes notice of. See, those are heart commitments. You know, honor your father and mother. Well, they're not honorable. That's nothing to you. You know, do those little, make those heart commitments to the Lord. And I'm telling you, here comes the power. Here comes the ability. And I'm telling you, when God's grace is on something, you don't like it before, but you really enjoy it now. It's like, this changes the whole ball game. It's like you couldn't stand being nice to somebody. Then you made up your mind, praise God. And then here comes God's power, God's grace on it. And then it seems like it just brings you joy to do that now. Hallelujah. See the church, the nation has come together and made their voice heard. They sent a mandate to this government. We sent a mandate to this government that we want y'all to use our money and do it right. Right? I've got a mandate to this church. You give tithes and offerings. I don't just go and do what I want to anytime I want to, what I think with the money. If I do anything with it, I get before the Lord, because you've entrusted me with your tithes and offerings, and God has to do what's right with it. And y'all expect me to do it, and you ought to. Right? Hallelujah. I'm responsible for my family at home to take care of them. You know, God takes care of us. I just mean be a good steward, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. And those little commitments to God brings the power to do it into my life. I've led my family into victory through the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Through this man, he talks about one thing's happened in my life. His name is Jesus Christ. Well, that's just the start of it, Mac. He leads us where we don't want to go, but he blesses us in the middle. Just like the nursing home. You didn't really care for it to start with. And I felt on the inside, if I hadn't felt like it was Lord, I'd have told you, I don't think it's God, man. I think you need to be in church Sunday morning, blah, 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 like a pastor does. But I looked on the inside, and I felt it's good, and God was good with it. And I began to pray for him and begin to back him up. I felt like he was an outreach from this church to that nursing home, bless God. And I began to pray for him and lift him up and ask God to use him and all of that stuff. And then God begins to take him in there where he doesn't want to be very social. And God said, well, I'm going to change that. I want you to be social. I want you to be able to get in a crowd and feel comfortable. I want you to, he's not through with you yet, Mac, but he's done it a little bit in there. You can stay with us 15 minutes after we eat. You're doing good. You used to get your plate and leave. See, we're his Boaz. And we love him. You know? And this church is a move of God for me. Y'all are somewhat my Boaz. Y'all were the next move of God. Hallelujah. Y'all were the next chapter in my life after I evangelized and served at my church for 8 years. See, you want to be used by God? Then be faithful here. Then be faithful in the small. Be faithful in going to church. Be faithful in the small stuff. I'm not talking about if you're just dead, nearly sick. I'm talking about when you can. See, there's a difference between I can and I can't. Really, really, really don't. I just can't do it. And God knows the difference. God knows exactly the difference. And God rewards the faithfulness. I mean, some people want to be here and they really, really can't. They get the reward of faithfulness. Did you hear me? Let me say that again, make that clear. Some people really want to be faithful and they cannot. But in their heart, they want to. They get the reward of faithfulness from God. Because it's not about the act, it's about the heart. But they are those that want to, and they're going to fight for it, and they're willing to, I'm telling you, and all the power of God comes to them. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about fasting for your ministry. Whatever ministry you're in, I don't care if it's toting boxes, guys. God don't look at that toting box as no different than this pulpit in such a manner. That is very important to God, the toting boxes. And the not complaining. Max fixing to take over another ministry. He wants it. We'll fixing to give it to him. He's wondering what it is. He don't know. He don't know. I've been praying. He's brought it up for 6 months. Not before the Lord praying, this and that, you know. God, what do you want? You know, does he know what he's doing? Do you know what he's saying? Taking on that commitment and all of that, you know. And I feel it's good. So we fix and let you have it next summer, Mac. Mowing and all that good stuff. But you know what? Mac just wants to serve God. It's just, Mac's like, well, I'm here, you know, and I'm right here, and I could do it, and it'd be easy, and it'd be, I ain't seen nobody else doing that, tearing the doors down to mow. I ain't going to do it. I'm not anointed for it. Somebody else getting anointed that lawnmower. Right? Well, Mac never thought about it. He's sitting in the line out there smoking crystal meth. Right out yonder in front of the homes out there. He didn't know we his Boaz. He didn't know we're part of his deliverance. He didn't know we're part of his future. He had no idea. He comes in down there high with some other guys. I knew them all. I knew you, and you didn't know I knew you. I've been down here in this place for 35 years. I know everybody down here. I could buy drugs from every half of them. And they'd be quiet. But you know what? He comes in, and it just seems like shalant to some of you, but it ain't shalant to shalant. It's a move of God. It's the anointing leaving our hands and our feet, praise God. Hallelujah. And we, some of us, sacrifice. We sacrifice to go get it. We sacrifice to unload it. We believe when it's not believable. I believe not to get a ticket when I go over the weigh station in God's truck. Because I always tell him, hey, if I get a ticket, God assures, I'm not paying it now. I'm in your truck. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For 15, 20 years. So look, you know, the Lord said, see, he said, you're the voice of, he said, you're the voice of victory to some. He said, when you preach and you preach it strong and you preach about Shadrach and them and you preach about taking a stand and all of that, he said, it takes that kind of faith, he said, to be released. He said, it was released in your life through men of God. He said it was released and you got hold of it. And you said, that's me, Lord. I'm going to prosper. My marriage is going to be good against all odds. My marriage, I mean, it looked like it'd take two Jesuses to straighten it out when I got saved. I mean, I thought Jesus can't even do this, you know. I mean, it looked like it would take two Jesuses, man. One is not strong enough. He needs God down here with him, you know. But I'm telling you, the power of the Word of God and the power of faith changes everything. I mean, I've changed poverty into riches. I rejected poverty and I laid hold of prosperity, praise God. It's in this Bible right here. Read your Bible. Don't take your church's word for it. Don't take your brother's word for it, because some people believe God based on their experience. They believe God based on what their church says. They don't even look at the Bible to see what their God says. See, Ruth said, I'm going to stay with you, and the same God you got's going to be my God. See, we want people to say, I want this God you got, because I've seen you believe for your marriage and it got straightened out. I've seen you believe for your church and they got healed of cancer. I've seen you believe and people didn't quit and give up. I've seen you believe for them. I've seen you wouldn't quit on them. And all of a sudden, I see them there. Mac, he told me, he said, man, you're lucky to have Johnny. And I said, no, I'm not lucky. He's a divine connection. Johnny's divine. All of y'all are. I believe all of y'all are. I believe y'all are all a divine connection. And sometimes, you know, Sandy, I don't like my divine connections. Not you. I'm just saying. See, their divine connection was Jesus. They went to his own, and what happened? They rejected him. And then he come to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. He come down here and said, hey, y'all don't want me? I'm going to the Gentile, man. I'm going to them heathens. I'm going to them nations without God. You know? But see, the package wasn't what the religious and all of that. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying in that, you know, I mean, I imagine they could have said, why do we have to stay in the upper room, Jesus? Why can't we just go out in the morning down there? He's everywhere. See, it's what God's speaking to us. Whatever God's saying to us, that's the will of God. And that's where the will of God's going to show up. That's where his will is going to be amplified in our life. Renew means to resume an activity after interruption. I thought, man, that's powerful. Has your life been interrupted? Has it been hindered? You know, the Lord told me, he said, son, he said, you know all the times, he said, that you've made choices that wasn't really in my favor that caused hardship on you. I said, yes, sir, Lord, I can count a lot of them. He said, that's what a lot of my people do. He said, then they start blaming it on the devil. He said, the devil got nothing to do with it. He said, if you make heart commitments to me, Satan can't do nothing with that. He said, he can't do nothing. He said, Jesus made up his mind to go to the cross. He said, and I gave him the power to do it. He said, he made up his mind, you know, that he was going to heal the sick and all of that because I'd prophesied it to him. He said, and I put my spirit on him and in him. He said, and he did that through me. Jesus proved it out. He said, I can do nothing on mine. Without him, I can do nothing. He said, I don't do nothing lest I hear the Father. I don't speak nothing lest I hear the Father. And then he said, I come not to do my own will. That's when the power of God really began to work in my life, is when I was a young Christian and I got down and I didn't understand what I was even saying to God at all in the fullness that I do now. And I said, God, I want your will done, not mine. I want to be like Jesus. I just want your will done in my life, God. Whatever your will is, Lord, as you reveal, you'll help me to do it, praise God. And I just want your will to be done. And you know what, praise God? That was a turning point that I can tie back to. But you know what? Like that guy Paul. See, some of y'all have been encouraging one another. Y'all were that Paul in that church. That was an encouragement to me. I went one time and I was going to the jails in three different jails, and I just didn't feel to go to my church and ask them, but I needed some Bibles, you know. And so I just went to the Lord and I said, God, I said, you said that you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I said, now God, I said, I need some Bibles. And I just believe according to Mark 11:22, that whatsoever I desire some Bibles. I believe that I have them and they're mine. I receive them. Well, it wasn't too long. This lady come to church after that. And she catches me at the door and she said, Brother Scotty, I got something for you. You got a minute for church? And I said, sure I do. She goes out there and opens that trunk up, and the Lord told her to buy me a trunk full of Bibles. See, I'm 27 years old. And I done figured out, hey man, either God's real for me or he's not. And yet that's what we need to do. I made a commitment in my heart that if God's told me to do something that he said he would supply, then I ain't got to depend on nobody to supply for me. And that's what you do. That's what I do. And God said, I want you to believe me for the ministries that I put in your heart. He said, I want you to believe me. Just believe me. I'm going to make it come to pass. You know? Believe for your marriage. I mean, there's going to be examples in this church of 30, 40, 50 year marriages. And they're going to look and say, man, there's a difference in the church. Used to, the divorce rate was 50-50. Now it's not even no divorces in the church. They just simply refuse to get out of the will of God. See, as long as I've got compromise in my mind, my heart's going to be compromised from faith. As long as I say, well, you know, she gets worse than what she is right now. You know, I mean, it's going to be inevitable. And I've heard it, you know. You know, God, date takes two, now it takes two. But I found out that it takes one. I found out I can believe God alone and he will turn this world upside down with my faith. Right? I found out that I could stand in faith and save my family. Right? I found out, praise God, that I could stand in faith and bring my family out of poverty. I'm on my way to being wealthy. I was wealthy at 27, though, when I had nothing, Johnny. I started getting a hold of that word. That word, the Bible said, Paul said, the word is working mightily in me. See, you create who in your mind, through your renewing your mind with the word of God, you begin to get a reality of who you have been created in him to be and do and have. The word renews your mind. The word gives you vision. Habakkuk 2 said, write it down, make it plain. Mine wasn't too much writing it down. I went around saying, I'm rich. And Teresa said, we don't need all kids if we're rich. I thought, oh man, leave that alone. Right? I'm going around saying we're rich. She said, go around telling everybody we're rich. She said, well, rich people don't have all kids. And I thought, oh my God, I need to shut my mouth up here. We're going to have to get rid of all kids. Well, see, the challenge come to the vision. And I said, bless God, you're right. Rich people don't get, they don't have all kids. So we made up our mind we had all kids. And that, he didn't, look at him, he didn't suffer not one bit. When he got sick, he got Tylenol and Kenneth Copeland preaching by the bed for 6 hours. He got healed in less than 5 hours. We figured, praise God, if the word of God works, it'll work in a sick kid right quick. So put Tylenol on, you ain't going outside playing. We wasn't trying to be mean to him. We're feeding him. Feed him the word, man. We're feeding him the word. I done whipped that in my glands and stuff, and I thought if it worked for him, me, it'll work for him. Hallelujah. But what happened is, see, renewing my mind got a revelation of the word of God, quickening. God's going to enlighten you some. He's going to awaken some of you to the will of God. He's going to awaken some of you to the things of the kingdom. that's not been quickened to you before. You know about them. Some of you know head things. You know things. You know things with your head, but that's not revelation. See, faith don't start in your head. You know, that's why that it has to be some meditating on the Word and commitment to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit will not quicken the word of God to me according to my will. It'll be according to His will. And so head knowledge don't have no power. Your Bible says actually in Romans over there that the mind is an enemy to God. It's not subject to the things of God, neither can be. The Bible says that flesh, this natural man, receives not the things of God. It says, but the spirit of man, the spirit on the inside of us. That's how come until we are born again, we have give our heart to Jesus Christ, we cannot see the kingdom. We cannot see into the kingdom. That the kingdom is revealed through Jesus Christ and Him only, praise God, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So God is going to awaken some of you to the call of God. Some of y'all got calls on you. Y'all young folk think you ain't called. I'm telling you right now, I don't care where you born, where you come from, who your mama, your daddy. They told me that. People told me God will use me before they'll use you. Well, they're still not being used like I am. And I would have never I'm selling drugs and stuff. We're partying. I would have never thought that I would be behind this pulpit today. I would have never thought that I would give my heart to Jesus and He'd bring my family back. And then all of a sudden I have this desire. Give me that one scripture and I'm going to close. It's in Philippians. That I would have a desire to preach a gospel. But see, this is what it is. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. See, the more commitments that I make to the Lord, the more that He works in me to build the church, to go forward with the church, to believe for the church, to believe for the backslidden, to believe. The more commitments I make to God, you know, the more that He works in me, the will and the power gives you the power. One translation says, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. See, that's how come when you give your heart to Jesus, you have a desire to go to church. That's not you. You have a desire to forgive people. You have a desire to love people. You have a desire to love your wife. You have a desire to love people, to do different. You have a desire to change. That's not you. That's the inward working of the Holy Spirit. It's Him working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, when people says you can't work and do ministry, you're looking at somebody been doing it for 23 years. I own my own business. I have for 30 years. And so don't say you can't do it. I did ministry when I worked for the other man. I've experienced it both ways. So I got a little experience, and I ain't going to preach it based on that experience. But I do know that God makes a way where there seems to be no way, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You and we thank You for this brand new year. We thank You, Father.